الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وَقَصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاخْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ صدق الله العظيم علماء کرام most respected brothers and sisters listening over receivers I wish to take you back to the discussion that we were having on Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam There are some very important things that we had discussed with regards to akhlaq, with regards to our muamalat, with regards to our dealings, our trade, our honesty, our truthfulness, and many other things. And the incident was that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu was salam, who we all know is known as Luqman Hakim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed him with that hikmah, which has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif also, and a whole surah has been mentioned, named after Hazrat Luqman. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu was salam, although there is a very weak riwayat that he was a Nabi, but all are agreed, or there's a consensus, that he was not a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Although he was offered Nubuwwat, he did not accept. And when he was questioned that why did you not accept Nubuwwat and you accepted Hikmah, then he said, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given it to me without asking, then he would himself had assisted me and helped me. But he had asked me, so therefore if I had said I am choosing it, then there would have been a tremendous responsibility. Therefore I chose Hikmah. Nevertheless, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was questioned once, whilst he was addressing a very, very big audience, people had gathered from far and wide to listen to him, and they asked him, one person amongst them suddenly asked him, that, are you not that same shepherd that used to graze sheep with me? He said, yes, I am that same shepherd. So then, what made you reach such heights? How did you reach these stages in your life? How are you blessed with all these things of wisdom? So Hazrat Luqman replied that quite a few things in my life made me the recipient of these ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Amongst which he had discussed that the lowering of the gaze, and that was the first thing that he mentioned. Lowering of gaze from haram, which is the most difficult test in these days of fitnas. Person is able to make tahajjud namaz also. He makes ishraq and chasht also. The person keeps rozas, nafil rozas in abundance. Makes hajj upon hajj and umrahs upon umrahs. But you tell them to lower your gaze from haram, then that is a very, very difficult paper. So if a person is able to pass that test, then it will make it easy for him all the other tests. So he said, lowering of my gaze. I'm not going into the details now. We have discussed quite a bit. Then he said, the control of my tongue. Another thing which causes great amount of damage in society, damage in family life, is when we give free rein to our tongues. When we do not think what we are speaking, or we start thinking after we have spoken. So many people, they will say that, after I have said this and after I have said that, then I regret. So the person realizes that the regret came after having said certain things. If the person did not say those things, there would have been no regret. So the control of the tongue, because a slight error with the tongue and the marriage breaks. Slight error with the tongue and the friendship goes. Slight error with the tongue and instead of Islam, it is kufr. So the person has to be so much on guard with regards to the usage of the tongue. So he says this was another sifat, another quality that I adopted. Then he said that as far as risk is concerned, sustenance is concerned, I adopted qana'at, satisfaction in whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had destined for me. There was no greed in my life, because greed leads to so much of haram. All those who are going to the gambling dens, or those who are earning through interest, or those who are cheating and deceiving in business houses, or those who are taking away the inheritance which is due to others, but they are usurping, they are devouring the property of orphans and widows, all this is due to greed. If the person had qana'at, if the person had some kind of satisfaction in the person's life, that whatever is the risk and sustenance that Allah Ta'ala has destined for me, which is halal, then there's going to be barakat in it, there's going to be khair in it, Allah Ta'ala is going to give it to me out of His pleasure. And if I have to go for that which is haram, then even if it comes like flood waters, but it's going to bring destruction. Flood waters, the water is plentiful. I've mentioned this before too, that in flood waters, the water is plentiful. If there was a drought and suddenly there's very, very heavy rain and it ends up in floods. So it does not mean that every person can now just start drinking the flood waters. Although plentiful of water has come, but because it has washed a lot of animals, urine, stool, and so much of other filth along the way, so if the person is going to drink it without boiling that water, then he will end up with bilharzia and he can end up with death. So barakat is in rizq which is halal, even though it may be a little, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give plentiful of barakat. So he said adoption of halal rizq and qana'at on that, satisfaction on that. We are allowed to compete, we are allowed to seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala abundance in sustenance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, he taught us how to make dua, asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for abundance in rizq with barakat. But that does not mean that going to haram sources. The person can go and adopt means by means of which he will be able to get some halal rizq. And if Allah Ta'ala wills, it can come in abundance too. But it must be coming in a halal way, and there must be satisfaction on that. That the person must be happy that this what I got through halal, that is the best for me. And then it must not be like chasing and racing after it. That the person is unconcerned about his namaz times, he's unconcerned about the family, whether they are sick and they are dying in hospital or what they are requiring. The person has got no time for the family, he's got no time for anything else. He gets up in the morning, he goes to his business, he comes late at night from his business and he sleeps. When he leaves the home, his children are sleeping. And when he returns, they are sleeping. So that is a destruction then of family life. It shows that the person hasn't got qanaat. There were times when the government had a restriction placed that you can only open up to 5 p.m. I remember the days when my father was running a business in Stanger. So we used to help him from coming from the school sometimes. So we used to look at the watch because we know after 5 he cannot remain open. They have to close at 5 o'clock. So at that time to Allah Ta'ala provided rizq and sustenance. It does not mean if the government has said that now you can remain open 24 hours of the days, so therefore the person must destroy his life too and destroy the life of other people also. I know it is difficult and hard to listen to these type of things, but in this position that I am, if you are not going to explain these things, then we will be answerable. There are so many people whose lives are destroyed completely. They have no family life at all. Because we make them work 7 days a week, 7 to 7. There is no Saturday, no Sunday, nothing. And if they have to, for some reason, go to some mayyat or attend some walima or some nikah, or the children are screaming and crying that they want to go out, they haven't been out for a whole week, a whole month, then the person says, either take your job or leave it. Now this is not the attitude of a Muslim. It shows that there's a hirs there. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat me dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. This is what we should be seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if hirs has entered our hearts. There is nothing that destroys a person's iman more than hirs. Greed is such a thing. The person has got a very beautiful wife at home, then what is it that takes him to a prostitute? It is again that same hirs. How many people they are going into this type of dens, and what is taking them there when Allah Ta'ala has given them pretty wives? It is nothing but hirs and greed. In everything, if you look at it, this hirs and greed is a major cause of destruction. So therefore, the Luqman says that what made me reach these high stages is because of this qana'at that I adopted. I was satisfied with what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed me with. I have given that example many times, but if it comes again, I'm not going to stop at repeating. that if you have to give two people of equal intelligence, and you give them equal amount of wealth, equal amount of goods of the same quality, and you give them the staff also who are very, very experienced and very efficient, and you put them in prime area next to each other with the same amount of stocks and with same amount of everything, and end of the month go and ask both of them how much business they did, there will definitely be a big difference, sometimes 40-50% difference, and yet they've got the same stocks, they've got everything of the same. Risk is something that has been destined by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore we hear in the khutbah many times, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam also, if you look at his ahadith, there's so much of emphasis on this qanaat. And if we only get qanaat, we will have a life of peace and happiness. It will bring sukoon in the heart also. The thing is that our expenses have run haywire. We are looking at the standards around us, and then we want to follow those standards. If a person next door to us has got a very beautiful car, then we must compete with him. If he's got a beautiful home, fully furnished with all the latest technology, then we must compete with him. If he wears a certain kind of clothes, then we must compete with him. How long are we going to compete? And how much are we going to compete? And every time that that person will buy something better than us, then it will bring a kind of sorrow and grief and pain in our hearts, and it will create jealousy. So each person must try and live within his means. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not made that difficult. If you really ask me, that is not that difficult. If you say how much of food is required for survival, then we will say not very much is required for survival. So now if a person has earning that much, by means of which he can just eat the basic food, so then he does not have to go to a supermarket where they stock all the delicacies and then go and burn his heart for nothing watching all those things, or go and make those purchases, whether it's food or clothing or anything else, go and make all those purchases which he knows he cannot afford, take it on credit, and after that then keep on demanding that I want, that my salary is not sufficient. So definitely I agree that lots of people are not earning sufficient amount of salaries, and it is not sufficient for even their basic survival. But whatever a person is earning, he must try to live within that. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he provides from other sources, that is his fazl. So qanaat is something extremely important. We can discuss this at length, but then Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that besides this qanaat, now this satisfaction and the other thing that I have mentioned, he says protection from zina, adultery and fornication, distancing himself from them. And if a person is going to control his gaze, then it will be easy for him to control himself from fornication, from adultery. Most of the people who are falling into this major sin, it is a scourge of our society. Marriages are breaking down because of that. We deal with cases every day of our lives, and now dealing with cases throughout coming from around the world through emails, where most of them are complaining of the same problem. Husband in adultery, or sometimes the wives are in adultery. Fornication is something where unmarried people are just associating with each other, unconcerned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ghazab and anger and lanat and curse is upon such people. And then we say no rahmat, no barakat, no happiness in our lives, restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. So what else are we going to get? Can we expect rahmat when Allah ta'ala says his curse is upon the person? How can rahmat and curse come together? How can light and darkness be together? It cannot be together. So this is a scourge of our society, and people say, how can we give it up when we are addicted? Everybody says addicted. So if the person is addicted to those porn movies, is addicted to all the other haram things, then he must think for a little while that what is this addiction going to lead to? Any sensible person wants to find out what the outcome is going to be, what the end result is going to be. So has the addiction given anybody happiness in his life, brought some peace, some satisfaction, some contentment? Has anybody said that after having committed adultery 10 times or 20 times, then I am satisfied now and finish, after that I am not going to commit? Many times you have heard that it is like the waters of the ocean, that it is salty water. The more you drink, the more you want to drink. It is going to create more and more thirst until the person will finally die. So what is the sensible thing to do? Just think that the life is going to end one day. There is no question of a person living in good health all his life. It is going to end one day. And when it is going to end, there is absolutely no guarantee. There is no question of we will live for 80 years, 100 years and then leave this world. The majority of those who are leaving this world today are young people and little children. So death can come suddenly and it can come anywhere. One person asked yesterday, but what is wrong if the person made secret nikah because he wants to save himself from zina? It's a very good question. The person wants to save himself from zina, so therefore he made a secret nikah. So neither his family knows about it, neither the girl's family know about it. And they made secret nikah. I said, after secret nikah, are they going to meet or not going to meet? They are obviously going to meet because they will consider themselves as husband and wife. And then what if he has a heart attack in your house? Or whatever, what happens if whilst the person is engaging in intimate relationship with his wife in inverted commas, and he has a heart attack? Now will you start announcing on that day now that this marriage took place some time back, it was a secret nikah, we are very sorry, we didn't inform you? Look at the embarrassment, the shame, the disgrace and humiliation that will come upon your family. Secret nikah merely meant this, that if there was some occasion where you could not find a big audience to make the nikah, and there was a need, there was a necessity for the nikah, then at that time we will say, well, 2, 3 people, 5 people, whoever you find, in front of them make nikah. But then it did not mean that after making that nikah in the presence of those 2, 3 people, then that was the end of the story. And then keep on associating in secrecy and in privacy. What it meant is that immediately after that nikah, now announce it. Make i'lan of that nikah. Inform the people that we are married. The husband's side should come to know, the wife's side should come to know, the parents should know, the family should know. Because if they are going to see the 2 people going into some hotel room, or they are going to see them associating somewhere, then you are going to create doubt in the minds of the people that these 2 people are in illicit relationship. And that also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has prohibited, that we should not even do such a thing where a person looking from the outside is tempted to have doubts on our relationship. اتقوا من مواضع التهم. Shariat is beautiful, it is very beautiful. It has taken care and consideration has been given for certain emergency situations. But then we cannot make that emergency situation to be a norm, which is becoming so common in our society nowadays. I have discussed this at length in some nikah bayan. So as Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says, that was another thing. Then he says, the care of the neighbors. Our neighbors, if they are not happy with us, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is also not happy. How many people are complaining about the neighbors? We will take our dirt and throw it into the neighbor's yard. Or we will make a loud din and a loud noise whenever there is any function or any program. We are not going to be concerned who is sleeping, who is awake, nothing. Neighbors' rights, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized so much. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and so much of emphasis was put on neighbors' rights. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I fear that there's going to be this. The neighbors are going to be given a share in the inheritance. That much emphasis was placed. So we have to learn tolerance. We want everybody else to be tolerant. We say, can't they be tolerant? Can't they be tolerant? So do we want everybody else to be tolerant? And we don't wish to be tolerant. Whereas it should be the other way around, that we should tolerate any kind of harm or any kind of inconvenience or disturbance. But we should not be the ones to cause the inconvenience and disturbance. That is the akhlaq. All these things are of akhlaq. And if you have to look at the history of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what came first was akhlaq. What came first was akhlaq. After that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was informed of his nubuwat at the age of 40, and then came namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, everything else came afterwards. But if you have to look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, first came akhlaq. If you look at what Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in the court of Negus Najashi, he gave a whole speech there, and Negus accepted Islam. So that speech that Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave in the court of that king in Ethiopia or Abyssinia, so if you have to read that speech of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's no time to even discuss a little of that, then it was akhlaq, the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which shone that we were like this, we were like that, we were like that, he came amongst us and these are the things that he taught us. So the king also was impressed with that. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came from the cave of Hira, what did she talk about? Again, there's no time, inshallah. We have discussed this before, but it's just coming. Again, she spoke about the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kalb. So, main thing is akhlaq. And these things which Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was discussing is of akhlaq. Then he mentioned about fulfillment of promises, fulfillment of pledges, etc., etc. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of understanding what is Islam and putting it into our practical lives. When it will come into our practical lives, then with very little speech, Islam will spread. But when it's not in our practical life, then people who are in Islam are going to distance themselves. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, suffering and problem of the ummah around the globe and bless us with His mercy, with His forgiveness, and with the best of dunya, best of akhirat, wa akhirat da'wana, alhamdulillah.